Tonight's sermon is a continuation of what I started last week. Who can tell me my topic from last Sunday night? I know that's a dirty trick. Try to remember what a preacher said the last Sunday night. But the meaning of life. Tonight, we're going to look at a little different aspect. And the topic I have chosen is, life is worth living. If you have your Bibles, open up to Philippians chapter 1. And we're going to read verses 15 through 21. Philippians 1, 15 through 21. It is true that some preach about Christ because they are jealous and ambitious, but others preach about Christ because they want to help. They preach because they have love, and they know that God gave me the work of defending the good news. But the others preach about Christ for selfish and wrong reasons, wanting to make trouble for me in prison. But it doesn't matter. The important thing is that in every way, whether for right or wrong, they are preaching about Christ. So I am happy, and I will continue to be happy, because you are praying for me, and the Spirit of Jesus Christ is helping me. I know this trouble will bring my freedom. I expect and hope that I will not fail Christ in anything, but that I will have the courage now, as always, to show the greatness of Christ in my life here on earth, whether I live or die. To me, the only important thing about living is Christ, and dying would be profit for me. Now, I hope you were listening to Mike when he was reading his segment out of the Bible. In Hebrews 11, let me read verse 3, because this, I think, was Paul's philosophy. Think about Jesus' example. He held on while wicked people were doing evil things to him. And here, so do not get tired and stop trying. You see, sometimes we think we have to be perfect. Sometimes we have to, we think we got a little checklist and we got to make sure we get everything done. Do you think Paul could get everything done? Do you think he could do what he did without getting tired? What was his secret? Not giving up. He did not get tired of doing, which is our example. Life is worth living. Some unknown sage said, you came not into the world because you chose, or when you chose, but because the world had need of you. Well, I heard Mack Lyon in a sermon put it this way. You came not into the world because you... Did I write this right? Probably wrong. You came into the world because you... Or, no, I did that wrong, didn't I? I can't type, I can't write. You came not into the world because you chose, or when you chose, but because God had need of you. I made a big typing mistake, Charlie. Or can I blame it on you? Okay, thank you. No, you didn't type my notes. But I like the way Mack Lyon put that. Because God had need of you. God has a reason and a purpose for us to live. We talked in class this morning. And what was that little girl's name? The one that, with 13 years old, committed suicide. And a member of the church, you said. Sad. But life is worth living. And we need to encourage each other, and we need to learn to encourage our young people. Which is another reason I asked you to go talk to Walter. I give you little tips up here. Usually a good idea. Walter's a good young man. Last week, we were looking at the meaning of life. And we discovered that God sent Jesus to give our life meaning. Fullness of life in Jesus. Materialism, humanism, as well as many others deny this. That we have a purpose in life. But because their philosophy is so widespread, it is no wonder, Charlie, that so many people are asking themselves, is life really worth living? And they mean this earnestly. In an era when there are more and more people living, and people are living longer, this question of purpose of life is more relevant probably than ever before in human existence. I checked on it, Charlie. Suicide is the 10th leading cause of death in the United States of America. This article I read said on the average there are 75 suicides each day that are successful. That's about, this article said, about one every 20 minutes. And the article said, but this does not take into account those who tried and failed. Unfortunately, there was a young lady in Germany, member of the church, who many believe tried to do that very thing. Almost as sad, though, is the fact that millions more who would never entertain the thought of suicide are living their lives without meaning, going day to day, just living. And I say, what a waste. What is your life? What are we doing here? What is our purpose? Some might not admit it, but it is seen in their life what they think the reason they are here for is. Many would say it's pleasure. Eat, drink, and be merry is their philosophy. Because what else is there? You only go around once. So get all the gusto you can. Remember that advertisement? It was a beer commercial. Think about that. A beer commercial teaching people, this is it. You might as well get all the gusto you can now. But this is the philosophy of millions in the United States. You see it expressed in many ways and places. There was even a song a while back, and this might be dating me, I'm not sure. Girls, they want to have fun. Remember that song? I think it was Cyndi Lauper that sang that song. Girls aren't the only ones that want to have fun, let me tell you that. The Epicureans, a long, long time ago, probably at the time Paul was teaching and preaching in Athens, had a philosophy, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die. Even King Solomon looked into the thought of pleasure as the meaning of life. Vanity of vanities. And there is a small book called Is Life Worth Living? And it's a debate between two men, both agnostic. Agnostic means they don't know if there's a God or not. There could be, there might not be. It depends on how you want to think about it. But Dr. Frederick Starr, a professor of anthropology at the University of Illinois, and Clarence Darrow, you might recognize that name from history, the monkey trial, the Scopes monkey trial, had a debate over whether or not life is worth living. And this was way back in 1925, so before my birth. Both men were agnostic. And Dr. Starr took the position that life is worth living. The first reason he named was because of pleasures. Because of the pleasures of this world, life is worth living. And Mr. Darrow countered and said, so, when the sorrows of the world surpass the pleasures of the world, life isn't worth living. Is that your philosophy, Dr. Starr? And then Dr. Starr countered again. And he said, well, earning money is also a reason for living. The material, for materialistic reasons. You can buy, you can have, you can enjoy yourself. So the accumulation of wealth. And there are many supporters for both of these theories today. It isn't that they all hope to be millionaires, but just the thought of possessing things. I gave Charlie the television that he had got for me at the beginning, because I bought a bigger one. I guess even I can be guilty of this thought. Possessions. It's not really just the thought of possessions, it's the thought that I possess them. And how much can I possess before I have to pass away? I don't know if you remember this. I kind of read something, and I kind of halfway remember this story that dates back to 1975. It was a news story about a woman who everyone thought was a victim of poverty. This woman had wasted away to 50 pounds by the time the social workers found her. This woman lived off what people would give her. And she was so sick and so thin when they found her, they took her to the hospital. And 2 days before she died, an appointed lawyer was going through her possessions, and they all thought she was going to pass away, and he found two keys, safety deposit box keys. Those two safety deposit boxes contained almost $800,000. Was it poverty that killed this woman? Greed. She lived off what others gave her, and every penny that she earned and got from somewhere, she stuffed in those boxes. She starved to death with $800,000 in the bank. Imagine letting yourself starve to death because you're too greedy to use it. I don't know, maybe you remember this bumper sticker. He who dies with the most toys wins. Still around? Is that what life is all about? Getting the most toys? Jesus said this in Luke 12:15. Be careful and guard against all kinds of greed. Life is not measured by how much one owns. In response to the question, what is your life? Some might answer, to have gained recognition, to have been successful. That's what life is all about. Like the other things which we mentioned, the idea isn't all bad, to want to be remembered. You know, the Olympic Games, when they first started way back, well, I don't know when, but way back when, you know what those guys earned, what they got for winning? A little wreath that they set on their head. And how long did that wreath last before it faded away? Not long. Let me ask you another question. Who knows some of the Olympic winners from way back in the 50s? 60s? 70s? Rex raised his hand. He remembered one. I don't. I can remember someone by the name of Nadia Comaneci. I think that was ice skating. But I don't think she was one of ours. Romanian. So I don't even recognize that name. But the whole thought is, how long does recognition last? How long do you think this Rollins woman will be remembered for her books that she earned millions and millions and millions? The name Harry Potter might be remembered longer than her name. What is recognition? It comes and it goes. But we don't remember them for very long. No, the Bible doesn't encourage slothfulness or failure. It is ultimately a book of winners. Now, I don't mean to give away the end of the story, but the book of Revelation says Christians come out the winners. Hope I didn't ruin, you can still read the Bible. Go ahead, I hope I didn't ruin the story for you. But the Bible teaches the Christians come out the winners. We may not always look like we're the winners, but this is an endurance race. It's not a sprint. It's who can survive the longest following Christ. Paul understood that thought. The Bible is a success story. It is not the story of defeat. Ty Cobb, I think he played baseball. I read this about this man. He was being honored in a banquet, and someone came up to him and said, "What's it like to be so well known for being such a great baseball player?" You know what he answered? "I wish I had been a doctor and had been able to save people's lives. That would have been much more important to me than being known to be a great baseball player. So I guess it's a matter of what is going to be the source of our greatest satisfaction. I read of a bowler who was so proud of bowling 300 that he had that put on his tombstone. Can you imagine? Philip Starling, rest in peace, he bowled 300. I don't know if Philip ever bowled 300. I never have and never probably will. But can you imagine that being your greatest achievement in life? That you bowled a 300? Up to this point, Stefan has bowled better than me. I think, what was that game you bowled, Stefan? He doesn't remember. My highest was like 139. And Stefan was up there about 160. I've never been that high. But to think that someone thought that was the greatest achievement of their life. But I think there's something with more worth out there. The Apostle Paul put it best for the Christian. For me to live is Christ. For Paul, Christ was everything. We looked this morning. He put away prestige. He put away power. He went from persecutor to persecuted because of Jesus Christ. Jesus was his all. See, we Christians are different. We are not seeking fortune or fame. We are looking for something more noble, more lasting. As a Christian, we should be able to join Paul and say this, what Paul said in Philippians 1 and 20. I expect and hope that I will not fail Christ in anything, but that I will have the courage now, as always, to show the greatness of Christ in my life here on earth, whether I live or die. What was the main thing that he wanted to do? To show the greatness of Christ. Not of himself, of Christ. Paul had been a violent persecutor of the Church of Christ. He was first introduced, like we learned this morning, in Acts 7, at the murder of Stephen. There is no doubt that he played a huge role in the persecution that followed. But as Paul approached Damascus, something happened that changed his life. He saw the risen Lord. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Saul said, who are you, Lord? The voice answered, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. We generally think that Saul was inquiring about what he needed to do to be saved. And that's what many will use this scripture for. But I think there's much more here than him wanting to know what he needs to do to be saved. What was Paul's entire life up to that point? Persecuting the church because he wanted to please God. And now he found out he wasn't pleasing God. Paul wants to know, what do I need to do to please God? Because that was his life, pleasing God. And if he wasn't pleasing God, he was going to change it. And he wasn't pleasing God. Lord, what do you want me to do with my life? Because what did he change? His life. When a person becomes a Christian like Saul did, he not only experiences a change of heart and faith, a change of behavior by repentance, a change of commitment by his confession in Christ, a change of his relationship with God by baptism, he must also experience change in purpose for living. Pleasure, possessions, or promise or prominence is no longer to dominate our lives. But Jesus Christ and his ministry to the world, that should be what we seek. That should be number one in our lives as Christian. Such a conversion, such a change is not merely saying, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. But it is a commitment of all that a person is and has to Jesus Christ. Paul did it. To the best of his ability, Paul gave everything to Jesus and his work. We're told that life consists of five elements: time, talent, energy, productivity, and purpose. That's what the experts say. And the Christian's commitment to Christ is and should be time, talent, energy, productivity. What was that last one? And purpose. Listen to this. This is what Jesus said in Matthew 16, 24 to 26. If people want to follow me, they must give up the things they want. Whew. Hard. They must be willing even to give up their lives to follow me. Whew. Harder. Those who want to save their lives will give up true life. And those who give up their lives for me will have true life. It is worth nothing for them to have the whole world if they lose their souls. They could never pay enough to buy back their souls. In an article from Psychology Today from November 1986, there's an article by a sociologist. Her name is Margaret Paloma. She revealed that the people who feel close to God on a personal basis have a deeper sense of purpose and are happier with their life and health. The study which she presented to the American Sociological Association identifies religious identity as the most important factor for a person to find happiness. Even more important, she said, than a job or success in a job or family even. But God has made this clear from the very beginning of time that this is true. Can you imagine someone from the worldly side of sociology through her study coming to this conclusion that a personal relationship with God, a religious identity, is the true key to happiness. Life is worth living when one knows God and serves Him. Let me read one last Bible passage, Titus 3, 3 through 8. In the past, we also were foolish. We did not obey. We were wrong, and we were slaves to many things our bodies wanted and enjoyed. We spent our lives doing evil and being jealous. People hated us, and we hated each other. But when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, was shown, He saved us because of His mercy. It was not because of good deeds we did to be right with Him. He saved us through the washing that made us new people through the Holy Spirit. God poured out richly upon us the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ our Savior. Being made right with God by His grace, we could have the hope of receiving the life that never ends. This teaching is true, and I want you to be sure that people understand these things. Then those who believe in God will be careful to use their lives for doing good. These things are good and will help everyone. Yes, life is worth living when Jesus is our Lord and we are about His work. Do you wish to have a life that is worth living? Then take the first step. Come forward this evening. Ask God for help or seek regeneration, salvation and baptism as God commanded and wash away your sins? Will you not come to Jesus and learn that life is worth living? Come as we stand and sing.